passage is the parable of the sower explained, Mark 14, 13 through 20. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. But when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones that are sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But they have no root and endure only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold. The word of God for God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen. I have very fond memories growing up in church. Church was always very good to me. I have good parents. I had good Sunday school teachers. I had good choir directors, good children's choir directors, good youth choir directors, good youth leaders, good friends. Church was a wonderful experience. It was always warm, inviting, welcoming, embracing, encouraging. It was a good environment and a good place for me to grow up. I guess I was a bit unusual as a kid in that I liked church. I really liked church from a young age. From my earliest memories sitting in church, I liked it. I didn't always get it. We would sing the Gloria Patri every Sunday. That second hymn that we just sang, that hymn, refrain, glory be to the Father. I would sing loud as I could, and I didn't get all the words right because I didn't understand all the words. And I think it was my mother who realized he's not singing all the words right, and she finally nudged me and had to teach me the words to the Gloria Patri. But that didn't stop me from singing and singing loudly. I loved it. I loved this stuff. I loved the sanctuary, the holy space, spaces like this. I didn't grow up here, but I grew up in spaces like this, beautiful places. I love the majesty. I love the wonder. I love the beauty. I love the mystery of the stained glass, the mystery and the beauty of the wood, the mystery of the symbols, the beauty and the wonder of the high ceilings, the banners, the decorations. It was all majestic. I liked the organ. What kind of a strange little kid likes the organ? But that was me. I loved it. It had such a beautiful sound, a beautiful set-apart kind of a sound. And I knew when I heard that special set-apart sound, we were in a special set-apart place. And I can remember on Sundays when that organist was just really cranking out the hymns and you could feel the vibration of the organ in your chest. And I loved that feeling. Still to this day, I associate high holy days with that grinding of the organ and that pounding of the music in my chest. I like the sermon. How many kids like the sermon? That's a little strange, isn't it? But that's what I'm telling you. I was a strange kind of a kid. I didn't always like it throughout my entire childhood. I got to a stage in middle school where I really tuned out. But elementary school, an early young age, I was really into that sermon. My dad was the preacher. Maybe that had something to do with it. But I would listen. I would hang on every word he said. Not every Sunday, not to all of it, but to most of it. And it made an impact. It made an impact on my life. It was the custom of the churches in my day growing up that just before the sermon started, they would dim all the lights in the sanctuary. Except for the pulpit. There would be a spotlight right on the pulpit. So the pulpit and the preacher were illuminated, but it was dark in the rest of the sanctuary. And that way people could focus their attention right on the sermon. They could tune out all of the worries, all of the fears. They wouldn't be thinking about the chicken in the oven waiting for Sunday lunch, Sunday dinner. They could focus right on that message. It was a very focusing kind of a practice. And I know our churches weren't the only ones. I know that this church did that a little bit as well. When Charlie Leitner was the pastor, they would sometimes dim the lights and focus on the pulpit. I've heard the Christmas Eve sermons and the Christmas stories. It was a focusing moment in worship. Anyway, Dad would typically open his sermons with a story, and those stories would draw you in. And all of these things worked together to get my attention and to grab me and to draw me in so that all of this became a wonderful, warm, inviting, encouraging, and embracing kind of a place and help shape and form the kind of person that I am today. I attribute much of my calling to this background. Much of my experiences in the church, growing up in the church. And to put it in terms that will connect with our scripture and our sermon series and our theme, church, these experiences were the good soil, the good and rich and nutrient and nurturing soil that would enable these seeds that were scattered in my life, these seeds that were everywhere scattered in my life, these seeds that the sower, Jesus Christ, had thrown and scattered in my life, could take root, could germinate, to grow, could flourish, and bear fruit. We continue our sermon series this Sunday, Grains of Truth. Last Sunday, we introduced the parable of the sower. Remember that sower on the hills by the Sea of Galilee, sowing the seed, spreading the seed liberally all over. Today we focus on the explanation of the parable of the sower. Jesus preached to large groups. Jesus preached to small groups. And when he preached the parable of the sower, he was preaching to a large group. You remember there on the beach, so many he had to get into a boat. But then he preached to a small group, and he explained the parable. The large group didn't get the explanation. It was a small group that got the explanation. His disciples, his inner circle, his closest friends and his followers. And the reason for that mystery and why some of his preaching seemed exclusive and reserved, and why not explain to everybody, and why not let everybody know? That's the theme that we touched on last Sunday just a little bit. Insider information. Mystery enshrouded in mystery. But thanks to Mark's gospel, thanks to the gospels in general, we have that insider information. We get to slip our toes into the sandals of the disciples and hear the parable of the sower explained. What an act of grace. What a wonderful thing that we get this insider information, this story of the parable of the sower explained. And in the parable, the seeds are the Word of God. And there are four different environments in which this Word of God is scattered. This Word of God is sown. The seeds met with four different fates. The first seeds are the seeds that fell on the path. They never stood a chance. They were doomed from the start. They didn't fall in the soil. They fell on the path. The birds came up, scooped them up right away. In spiritual terms, these are the ones who hear the word of God, but for whatever reason, reject it. Satan comes along, like these ornery birds, and snatches that seed up immediately. The seeds of faith never had a chance. I bump into a lot of people in my life for whom faith and church mean nothing. It's pretty difficult for me to understand. Because for me, faith and church means everything. And it just confirms that environment in which I grew up. This place now is a place of warmth and love and rejoicing and joy and welcome and encouragement. This place continues that wonderful and warm calling. How can some not want that? I don't know. It's difficult for me to explain. Unless they didn't have, perhaps, that warm, embracing, comforting, wonderful experience growing up. Maybe church wasn't the same great experience for them as it was for me. Maybe something's blocking it. Maybe something internally. Maybe something externally. I don't quite know. Maybe it's Satan being Satan. That's what the gospel is saying. Mark interpreting this whole thing for us. If so, I want you to know that Satan is not undefeated. Satan is very much defeated and defeatable. And even though he gets small wins and victories in our lives and small wins and victories in the world, he does not get the final win, whether we're talking about the world or over you. You get the final win, thanks be to God. And sometimes it's as simple as just trying. Satan be gone. Satan get out of here. Satan get out of my life and stop blocking me from hearing that beautiful word that I want to hear. This spring I threw down some grass seed in my yard because I have a bunch of dry patches all over my yard. And as soon as I did it, a couple hours later, here comes one of those gully washers that we've had this spring, and it washed all those seeds away. A lot of that seed was lost. Some of it wasn't. Some of it I found there on the sidewalk. And I said, oh, no, you don't. You're not going to live there for the next 5 weeks. So I got out my broom and my dustpan, and I scooped it up, and I sprinkled that seed back where it belongs. I should have put down straw. I know. I know how to plant seed properly. I didn't do it. I was being a little bit lazy. But what does it mean for you to just get out that broom and that dustpan and pick up those seeds of faith that have been gully washed onto the sidewalk this spring and put them back where they belong and give them a chance to germinate? You can do it. You can do it. Just get out that broom, get out that dustpan, sweep, sprinkle, and let God do what God's going to do. The second seeds are the seeds that fell on rocky ground. These are the seeds that fell on the soil, but not deep soil. They were rocks and roots, and they failed to develop a deep root structure. In spiritual terms, these are the ones who hear the word of God gladly, but it's not long-lasting. Short-lived. Disappears very quickly. Especially when hard times set in. These are the ones who have strong faith when everything's going great, when everything's going well in life, but when things aren't going well, when there are challenges, when there are frustrations, when there are fears, when things seem like it's falling apart, faith crumbles. When life comes along and challenges come along, sometimes our faith fades. It's true for all of us from time to time. All of us have challenges from time to time. All of us are challenged in our faith from time to time. And from time to time, we have experiences in life when we are closer to God and experiences in our life when we fall further away from God. That's true. That's normal. That's fine. But it shouldn't be like that all the time. It shouldn't be that something comes along and wipes us out and we're done. Relationship with God over. It shouldn't be like that at all. In fact, one of the benefits of faith is that it's there to help us through the difficult times. And I hear some people say that it is their faith that helped them through the difficult times in life. And if they didn't have their faith, they might not be able to get through those difficult times in life. So thanks be to God for faith, which enables us to get through difficult times. That's what faith is supposed to be. There in the good times, there in the bad times. Let it nurture and sustain you through good and through bad. Third, the seeds that get choked by the weeds and the thorns. This is probably the most relatable category of all because, boy, it just hits us where it hurts. These are all of the thorns and weeds and distractions of the world. The chaos, the busyness, all of our wants, all of our needs, all of our desires, all of the distractions of the world, and they are legion. They are everywhere. You know, in contrast to me hanging on every word that my father would preach from time to time, I talk to my youngest son, who occasionally frequents church, and I said to him, "Were you inspired by anything that I said? Did anything that I say touch you, reach you?" "Nope." "Did you hear anything that I said? Could you say anything that I said in the sermon?" "Nope." It's not that he doesn't love me. I know that he does. He tells me we have a great relationship, but something is getting in there. He's got a little ADD, and he even says, "I try to listen, Dad, but as soon as you start talking, I tune out." Gone. It's gone. Nothing. That's a wake-up call for me, because I realized that when my dad would preach, it meant everything to me. When I preach, it means nothing to my son. Something has happened. The weeds and the thorns are choking out that message from getting through. It's true for a lot of us from time to time. When life gets busy, when we get overwhelmed with the stuff of this life, we have trouble focusing. We're an ADD culture. My youngest son, when he does his homework, I don't know how he does it, he needs music on or the TV on or his cell phone right there. He needs something else going on in his life so he can focus. My brain is just the opposite. I can't have any noises or any distractions. Otherwise, I can't focus on a thing. But I find that that's happening more and more with young people. Our brains are just moving so fast that we can barely keep up. And we find that the challenge of faith in this modern era is realizing we are growing faith in the really tall weeds and the really thick thorns. So those challenges are tremendous. I heard a preacher say a little prayer one time just before he started preaching, and he just said, "Lord, let us give us the sacrifice. Let us give you the sacrifice of our attention." That's it. That's the whole prayer. I thought it was a beautiful little prayer. And it doesn't seem like much of a sacrifice, but maybe in this world it is. The 10 or 15 minutes for a sermon, or the 50 or 60 minutes for a worship service, that we give God our best. I call that a small sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice nonetheless. And God certainly deserves our best all the time. But let's give that to God for a little bit, at least, every Sunday. The final category is the seeds that fell into good soil. This is the good news. This is the one where everything works out perfectly. They hear the word of God, they receive it, and they thrive. Everything happens right. They germinate, they establish deep roots, they grow, they flourish, they bear much fruit. And listen to this harvest, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That sounds ridiculous, but it's not impossible. I hear some of you talk about some of the tomatoes. "I have a tomato plant that had 100 tomatoes. You're kidding me. No, it can happen. It's possible. But this is more spiritual truth than literal truth, to point to the fact that with God, God can do anything. Nothing is impossible for God. God is amazing, and with God in your life, you can do things, amazing things that you could never do if God wasn't in your life. So what grain of truth might we glean from this parable of the sower explained? I would imagine that at one point or another, we have all been in each of these four categories. We're not always the good ones, and we're not always the bad ones. At some point in our lives, we have been in each of these categories. I've been in all four at different points in my life. But overall, I like to think that the seeds of faith have fallen into good soil. My faith is not perfect, but it's strong. And I'm very much aware that that is an act of grace in and of itself. And I receive it as grace. I receive it as a gift. I am thankful. My heart overflows with thanksgiving because of this free gift of grace that I have received. I don't think I'm better than anyone else. I know that I'm not. I don't think that I'm more righteous. I don't think that I'm more holy. I know that I'm not. I sometimes ask God, why me? And the only answer I've gotten so far is, why not you? Okay? That's good enough for me. And so here I am by the grace of God. And here you are by the grace of God, also receiving this gift of free grace. But I wish that others could experience this thing, this faith, because it is not just a gift. I mean, it is a treasure that gets me through life. And I don't believe that people without faith are condemned to hell. But I believe that life for them is a lot harder when they go through hell. Because I've got a friend that walks with me when I walk through those hellish times in life, and I can just reach out and hold on, and he is the one who sustains me, and he is the one who pulls me through. And how and why would anybody want to go through life without that friend pulling us along and pulling us through? I wish it was different. This parable invites us to hear. To hear and to listen. That we might receive. That our lives might be different. That we might have faith. And that in this world, with all of its challenges, with all of its difficulties, with all of its bad times, we might thrive and flourish. That we might be a blessing in this world, a blessing to others, that others might be nourished and sustained through our faith. Thanks be to God. So be it. Amen.